You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians and in chapter 6. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, again, we've opened your word. Again, your day, your time. We want to remember all of it, your time. We're living in the midst of the time that you have given to us. God, you have a beginning and an end to it. So here we are. God, we want to have our existence and our experience to measure up to your wonderful plan for our existence. And our Father, we thank you in all of it, for all of it, in Christ's name, amen. So, as we've been looking, and you can't enjoy being saved, the privilege of being God's chosen, in God's grace, to enjoy God in forever. In the book of Ephesians, lifts you up into heaven to understand where you're headed, why you got there, why you're going there, and in the interim, how to get there safely. So, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us the warfare that is involved. In other words, the journey and all of these good, wonderful truths is going to be in earth, and the system, the satanic system, is dead set against darkness, is dead set against you and I, for us to be enjoying light, to have light, to have understanding in the midst of it all. So God, and God wants us to have the light. The system does not. So, and therefore, all of it's taking place. We just are a little drop from a human standpoint on planet Earth. And we are a believer. In the days of Noah, Noah was one man and his family, but one man. And in the days of Noah, he was one man enjoying, exercising, God exercising him for 120 years, et cetera, et cetera, in a world that was not. Abraham comes along, David, Daniel, all of them, they line up. It's our turn. So, therefore, admonition to us, chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers that have position, and the principalities and powers that have position, privilege, authority, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's out of the realm of politics in Europe, or Washington, or anywhere else. It's a system above that system that controls it all, that governs it, and we're in the middle of it down here. So, having said that, we looked at the armor, and we've got down to where we were. God said, put on the whole armor. The armor belongs to God. So, and we get down to verse 16, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And you're going to take the shield of faith to protect you. Defensive, all defensive, to protect you. And we share together in the process. That shield belongs, and here's the, again, here's your soldier. And that this armor is what the Ephesians 6 is going after, because they were very familiar with the Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldier has a shield, only it isn't this kind of shield. He had this, but he also had the big shield, 4 feet by 2.5, wood. It is said of Ajax in the Iliad and all of that. Ajax had his shield covered with 6 hides, not all the full hide, but 6 layers of the bull hide, the thickness of 6 bull hides for his shield. He had that, Ajax. So it isn't a shield, but this guy doesn't have, needs his shield, and we're going to fix it afterwards, later. We're going to put it back on him, but he needs the shield. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, having said that, so the shield, verse 16, the shield, which is taking up the shield of faith, that which belongs to faith, that which belongs to us, the ownership. So the shield isn't just a shield. Some will say just a shield, but a shield, what kind of shield? I'm supposed to have faith. What kind of shield do I pick up? It doesn't tell me on that, using that system. It doesn't tell me what kind of shield, but God isn't leaving us with that. So therefore the shield, which is of faith, and we share together that little word of faith is the word the in front of it. When you think of the verb, out of it comes to what? Comes the word faith, a noun, comes the word faith. Also out of that comes the word believe, the verb, noun, faith, believe. Faith believes, the verb. The Gospel of John, 99 times. Believe. What does faith do? It believes. It's believing. What is it believing? The faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. The Bible in front of you. The Bible. So we aren't going to go. We don't have a shield. It's God's word. God's word is going to be a defensive weapon against what? All the fiery darts of the wicked one. They're going to be coming, missiles, spears, arrows, fireballs coming at us, and they're going to need the shield. How do we protect ourselves? God's word. You're resting. How did you get saved? You believed God's word. What protects you? What guarantees that you're saved? Besides Christ in you, God gave his word that said if you receive him as your Savior, you'd be saved. God said it. There is no debate, dialogue, or discussion with what God says. God says what he says, means what he says, and he says it, and you're resting in that. Right now, you're resting in what God has said in his word. You're trusting what God has said. That's what you're counting on, and rightly so, because you can't overcome it. Can darkness overcome? No, it can't. Can anything, a devil himself, can he change? No, you can't change. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How are you going to change that? You don't change it. You hold up. So what are we going to do? Like our Lord in Matthew 7 in his temptation for 40 days and nights, he held up God's word. He didn't have to. But he held up God's word. He's perfect man telling you how to do it. You hold up God's word. The word, the shield which is belonging, the shield which is the faith, the body of truth which is to be believed. You're believing God's word. That's going to protect you because all of it is against theory. It's against understanding, knowing. It's against anything that would help you walk in the light as he is in the light. So therefore, we're going to go and look to God, and God's going to do that for us as we hold up the shield. So you're learning to what? You're learning to rest in God. Our Lord Jesus perfectly did so. And he held up every time the devil would say something, and God said, "What did God say?" And the devil has no way to do anything. Like in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you're looking to God. Now, to get that in a little bit fresher movement, over to Timothy, if I can. And in 1 Timothy, and in chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6. And putting it together. Thank you. 1 Timothy 6, going directly to verse 12. Fight, the word combat, to go into contest, into battle. Combat, fight, the good fight, combat. Enjoy and exercise the good combat belonging to, and the word the is there, the faith. It's a combat, because God, the devil is against God and his word. You're holding up God's word to stop the fiery darts of all the accusation, of all the everything from the depths of the deepest darkness to stop. They can't change what God has said. And you hold up, I'm fighting in combat in the arena. I'm fighting the good fight, the combat of the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed. Now, having said that, and keeping that, and believing it, and why are you going to believe it? Because Romans 11:6, without faith, faith, believing. Because believing holds the faith. What are you believing? You can put your hand on it. I'm believing God's word. That's my shield. I'm believing God's word. That's my shield. And I want to understand that. So that's what I'm to be holding my shield. I'm believing God's word. How am I going to stop the fiery darts of all kinds and shapes that I don't even understand? I'm going to hold on to God's word. So all the doubt, discouragement, depression, and 1,000 other words may come my way, but they aren't going to go too far. Because why? I'm resting in God's word. It's my shield. I'm holding it. My faith, I'm believing. What does God say in the Gospel of John? He says it over and over and over again. Believe, 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 believe. I've written all these things to help you what? Believe. Have faith. Practice God's wonderful person and his wonderful word and his awesome work. Believe God. Trust God. So now, and I'm going to fight. It's a war. That's right. It's a war. Now, having said that, now, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Okay. Now, put that, build that, lock it in. Colossians. The book of Colossians, if I can. And in Colossians. And in chapter 2. And you'll notice in Colossians chapter 2, and you know, remember, hang on, how did you get saved? John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right to become children of God, as many as received him. Now, that same verb, sliding over, here's us believers that got saved. What do we need to do? We walk by faith, that's right, holding the shield of faith, resting on God's word. Now, Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6. As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do we do it? By faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. Now, help me some more. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. You're resting in the body of truth that God has given in his word, and you're holding it up, and you're putting it up. That's your protection. You aren't trying to defend how you think about it. You aren't trying to defend how you feel, what you understand. You're holding it up because it's God's word, and God defends it, like we did in Sunday school, grace. God defends it. That's God's word. If you're going to buck it, here comes the fiery dart. You'll have to overcome God's word. You'll have to overcome and get God out of the picture. You can't get God out of the picture. Now, so therefore, verse 7, rooted and grew up, built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we're going to be looking to God with thanksgiving in a wonderful way. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, now, over, if we can, to Thessalonians. And in the process, in Thessalonians, and, well, we could do either way, 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the believers in northern Greece got saved, wonderfully saved, wonderfully saved. Verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, you know, for the gospel, the good news, came not unto you in word only. In other words, it wasn't just a nice message, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In other words, they were saved and encouraged to be saved in a very enthusiastic, solid way. It wasn't just, you could read the word and believe. No, that's true. They would still be saved. But they didn't hear it that way. They heard it. God put his stamp on what he was saying. And they knew that was true. That's what they did. They knew it was true, and therefore, those dear believers in Thessalonica got truly saved, and wonderfully saved. So much so, they were so excited. And remember now, there's lots of persecution. Going to verse 8, verse 7, so that you were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia, and from you shouted out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, in Achaia, but in every place that your faith, there's the word the, your faith, the body of truth that you were believing, the body of truth that you were resting on, that you held up and you're resting on God and his word. And that's what they saw. So all of the idolatry and all of everything out there that could be thrown against them wouldn't make any difference. And they used to be part of it until they got saved. But now that they're saved, they have God's protecting them. God is doing the protecting. God is giving his word. They're resting in the body of truth, God's word that is to be believed by the believing believer. You gotta understand that. Otherwise, you have nothing. All you've got is a shield. Whatever you want to call anything in your life, this is going to protect me. How do you protect yourself against principalities and powers that are out of this world? How do you possibly even consider it? You don't. You can't. Therefore, every known every body of truth, And it was spread abroad. They knew it. They knew they were saved. And they were waiting here in verse. They turned to idols, turned to God. Well, I'll read verse 9. For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they were all excited, and they were saved. Now, so what, God, here comes, it doesn't stop. So what are we going to do? The pressure's on. And very shortly after 1 Thessalonians is written, here comes 2 Thessalonians down through the mail, as it were. And here comes the second letter, 2 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3. 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet fitting, because that the faith, groweth exceedingly. You keep resting on the Word of God. The Word of God becomes more and more understood, and more you understand it. The more and more you rest in it, you rest in the truths, you exercise the truths, and hold up the truths against all the error and all the darkness, and who can change it? They're going to have to come with some scissors and some what? Some fire, to burn it out. But you can't burn it out, hang on. So, therefore, we are bound to thank God always, verse 3, brethren, as it is meet, because that the faith groweth exceedingly. You keep learning the Bible. That's what you do. That's what we're trying to do. Here we are looking. We wanted to understand Mother. Wanted to understand Mother, the mother of all mothers. And she travailed in birth. And every other mother has to do the same thing in some form. And that's how we got here, to get physical birth. The Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, she went through travail in some form, and our Lord Jesus Christ travailed on Calvary's cross, and God sent him through travail, suffering like no other. To what? To save us. And you came out of your mother and walk around quite comfortably. When you get saved, you'll walk around quite comfortably as a believer. You didn't go through the anguish of saving you. He did. You're going around enjoying like you do physically. You're going around spiritually and very comfortably being saved. Comfortably. I don't have to go, he did. My mother got me in this, and Jesus Christ got me saved. Got it? Now, so, my faith groweth exceedingly, exceedingly, wonderfully, 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 God. So in the process, that's what we're looking for, God's word to grow, to develop, and to get us to be where we ought to be, as we ought to be. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember now, faith, we need to have faith, and a simple thing we did many, many times over the years in Mark and chapter 11, and in verse 22, a simple statement God makes, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, if I can, and in verse 22, chapter 11, where are you? And it says, do your pages stick together sometime? I have to get Jeanette to open those. You know the things you peel off to get into things, and you're supposed to lift the cover off. And I don't have any nails, so I'm trying to lift it. Anyway, you don't care about all this stuff. Anyway, what can I tell you? Anyway, now, Mark chapter 11. Simple statement you're going to make, Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, four words, have faith in God. Let God inspire and encourage and exercise your heart. Let God be your inspiration. Let God, that's what he said. Let God inspire you. And you got his word. You got his wonderful word. To what? Read. Of all things, to understand, Mother. I'm not going to understand Mother going to Buddha. I'm not going to understand Mother. I'm not going to understand it by the system. The system doesn't even care. They don't even know. Don't even think about it. But we're able to understand a little better and much to help us as we go down the corridor of time. So, have faith in God. That's what to do. And God, that's what you want us to have in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now to exercise that. Over, if you would, remember where you were to get back to where we're going. Over to the book of Jeremiah, again, chapter 20. Jeremiah and chapter 20. Remembering. Jeremiah chapter 20. You remember we were back here when we did Jeremiah. Remember that? Yeah. And I looked it up just for the fun of it. Well, that was 13 years ago. Hard to believe, isn't it? May 2012, we started Jeremiah. At that rate, we should finish the Bible in about 4,000 AD. Get the idea? No problem. If you get anything, you're getting it here in the light of here. That's what we're doing. We're understanding this verse in the light of this. So we see the verse and we see this. And what are we seeing all the time? We're seeing dot in the picture, dot in the picture, picture. And the Bible's coming what? Very real to me. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a picture, you see. And we're weaving threads through. So you have a rug, as it were. You have a way to walk comfortably from Genesis to Ezekiel, you see, to be able to go. It's a wonderful thing. That's what you're doing. You probably don't even know it. I don't even know it, but it's supposed to be. It's a wonderful thing. Now, so, chapter 20, and again, in Jeremiah, verse 9. Remember, Jeremiah's worn out, talking and being to a people that don't want to hear, don't want to listen, don't want to fix anything, and the darkness is getting darker, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city sooner and sooner and sooner, and quicker than you could think. So, verse 9, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, I couldn't stop. God's word was filling my heart, and God, you were doing an awesome thing. Yes, he was, an awesome thing in his heart. And Jeremiah said, there's no way. I don't want to. I'm facing everything. God said, put up the shield. Keep believing. I tell you my words, say my words. You're believing what I tell you, say what I tell you, it'll protect you. It'll bring a lot of fiery dots, but don't mind it. Let him come. Let him come. Chapter 23. And in chapter 23, picking up again, as you remember, verse 29. The light of the context, 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like as a hammer, and breaketh the rock in pieces? My word is a fire. Now, you know, without turning there, in Hebrews in chapter 12, 29, what do you know? When you come to the end of that chapter, remember we did the book of Hebrews? My word, God is a consuming fire. That's how he ends it. So when I say something, God said, I am a consuming fire. My word is fire. Here comes the fiery darts, and the fiery darts may come, but they have to go against my fire. They have to go against me, against my word. Now, you know, you could light my little tissue. Exaggeration, but not very, pretty good. Light the little tissue. And I put the little tissue down and say, boy, the fire's warm, and there it goes. That's true. But you know, if I put this fiery tissue, in a burning building, like some of you have seen, you've seen pictures sometime. There's pictures of different buildings, even in Cromwell, etc., where the fire is so hot, it twists and turns the big steel beams that are holding the roof up. And when you look, the beams have been so heated in the heat, they've been twisted and down, hot. I put this in that hot fire. Tell me where it's going to go. This is nothing in that fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into a fiery furnace many times over what they heated, even to kill the people that threw them in. That's hot. That is one hot furnace. But God, with them in the furnace, walked out of it unharmed, totally unharmed. How can it be? The fire of God is better to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You want to put it out, put it up against God's word. The problem, the doubt, the fear, the frustration, bring it against God. Ain't going to go anywhere. Do you understand? God's that fire. Now, hang on. Are you getting the idea? Now do it even better. Lock it in straightway to yourself. 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have the wonderful how to enjoy the will of God. Simply, wonderfully, what is the will of God for my life? Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 16. Rejoice, present tense, command. Rejoice what? All the time. You're crazy. No. God said you ought to be. You ought to be. Don't you understand? You're a winner. You're in a losing world. And you're in a body that's getting clipped because you got an old nature. But your relationship to God is one fiery furnace. So just relax. It has to come out right. There's no way anything, anyone, the devil himself is stuck. Now, so therefore, and pray without ceasing. Verse 17, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All of those, just that's God's will for your life. What are you going to do? Rejoice, keep, enjoy your fellowship, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So you want to know, what am I going to do tomorrow? I want to honor God's will. Do 1, 2, 3. 4, verse 19, quench not. There's the word that you have. The fiery darts to convince, quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. How am I going to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one? Make sure you do not quench the fire in your heart by God. Quench not, N-O-T, God the Holy Spirit, a consuming fire. Don't tell God to cool it. Don't tell God, don't bother me. You may not ever say it, but you think it and do it. God, I don't want us to do that. Don't cool it. Don't cause God to quench, to extinguish, to knock down. Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't quench him. Because he's the one that's going to take the word of God and go against anything and anyone, and he's going to give you much assurance. And you remember that's how the Thessalonians got saved in chapter 1, verse 5. They had much assurance. They weren't saved, and I wonder if I really got saved. They didn't have that question. They knew they were saved. They were wonderfully saved. Now, so therefore, don't quench the fire. God's doing what he's doing. Let him do it. Jeremiah chapter 20 we read. Jeremiah said, I wish I could put the fire out. God said, I don't want the fire out. Therefore, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And if I may, and you know it. And in 2 Timothy 67-68 AD, Nero is going to ultimately here, a year or so from now, is going to go and commit suicide and die. That's what he's going to do, I think. That's what I read. Anyway, but Nero, if you can just picture him looking out, Nero was an awful, awful emperor. And he looked out, and here's Roman city of Rome. And if you get mapping and stuff, you can get different books, and you can see the city. You can see the city as it was, and then you can see the section that he burned. And he burned, and he looked out, and he said, boy, I'd like to put my new house there, my palace. I want to put my house there. So how are you going to do it? Well, you got all those buildings. Ah, I'm going to burn them and blame the Christians. See, who did that? They did. Why'd you want to do it? I wanted the place to build my place, to build my place. So now, having said that, here's Paul. Nero's going to take him, kill him. Nero is. And here's Nero. Here's the fire. Here's Nero. Here's all of this happening. And now Paul. Now Paul, writing to Timothy, last letter before he dies, and he writes, and to Timothy is not Paul. Not Paul. Titus is not Paul. They're not Paul. They're not Paul. So they're not going to be Paul. But, what are you going to tell Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1, as you know, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, stir up that wonderful commitment you have to let God be God in your life. And the word stir up, to stir it up, to rekindle. In other words, the fire in Timothy's heart is down. It's a hard thing. Paul's going to die, and the pressure's getting on. Wow. Paul, what are you saying? Get the fire going again. All it's doing is smoldering. Get it back into flame. Get it back on fire. Get it burning. Jeremiah, burning. Paul, burning. Timothy, burning. You want to handle what's ahead for you, Timothy. You're not going to handle it without fire in your heart. God, stir up the fire in your heart. You're letting it go down. Quench, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, quench not the Spirit of God. Don't make the fire get out. Keep the fire going. Keep God's wonderful, wonderful truth fresh in your life. Fresh in your life. Fresh. Don't let it get dull and dreary and boring and say, oh, hum. Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. That is true. Now, what do you know? You're having that. And therefore, Paul says, in closing, you got the idea? Power. Stir up the gift. Get the fire going. Well, where's fire, right? You don't need to gloves on, asbestos gloves. Asbestos gloves. You don't need asbestos gloves to touch people because they aren't that hot. They aren't that hot. So God, what do we need? God, we got to understand what you want of us. The shield, the faith, the body of truth. Be honoring it. It'll hold you. It'll withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one, from principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and wickedness. My word, hold it up. By faith, hold the faith. I believe. I'm resting on God's word. Therefore, in chapter 4, and Paul says it very comfortably. He's going to go in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, the body of truth, to be believed. I honored it all the way to the end. I honored God's word. Why am I saved? Because you said so, God. What did you do, God? What are we going to do? We're trusting you and what you said, God. We're trusting who you are and what you said. That's why we got an awesome future. Therefore, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but on all them also that, what? They're loving his appearing. And we shared that the other night somewhere in the process. Looking for the Lord's return is the key for New Testament believers to stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. You're looking for the Lord's return. And turn the pages from the Gospel of John chapter 21 all the way. And you're going to keep saying, what, God? I'm coming. I'm coming for you. And you're letting that stir and keep you alive. When the church body or the believing heart loses that, you're going to go downhill. Now you say, I won't. I have a covenant. I believe this. You may. But I'm just telling you, whatever fires in your heart, if there ever was one, it's going to go down and it's going to go out. Because you can't have the fire without the freshness that you could be taken up. The next thing to happen is for God to take you so you can withstand all kinds of problems. And we did it the other day. Here we are in the airport or some other situation. We have a wonderful, wonderful thing. And whatever. So here we are. And everything is going for us. Everything happens, the power fails, and you don't feel good, and you lose your suitcase and several other things. You got them all there, whatever. But you're having to live with that. You're having to live with the conditions you live in now. But what's the key? I'm waiting to get on that plane to go to that wonderful land in the land of somewhere. I'm going there. And with that outlook, you handle this. Take that away. And I live with my lost bag and all the other things. And hour after hour and day after day, I have no hope. But Christ in you, the blessed hope, is saying, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Looking for that blessed hope, our Lord's coming to take you. To take you. When? At any moment. And that allows you to go through a whole lot of problems in a whole lot of ways because it's going to change. You're looking for what? For God to take you. And that's how you live. That's how we're to live. That's what he said. That's why it says it. When you come to the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 20, present tense, I am coming quickly. That's what he said. Who says that? Jesus Christ said that. That's how he ends. I am coming quickly. I don't know, what do you want? I'm coming for you. Be of good cheer. I just got through the book of Revelation, which is horrible. But be of good cheer. I'm coming for you. So we're looking for that blessed hope. And we want to keep a fire in our heart. And the hope keeps me fresh. When we lose the hope, then we are a dope. We don't want to do that. I don't want to lose the hope. No. I want to keep the fire going. Therefore, I'm going to go and keep the shields. I'm going to tie it, connect it together. Take the shield. Take the faith by the hand of faith. Take the body of truth that is to be believed and hold it up against all odds, obstacles, opponents. Hold it up, and it will quench all the terrible fire and disease and everything that can come, and it will what save you, because you're resting what God has said, what God is doing, what God is going to do. And you can go back, you can finish the battle, go have some lunch. Our Father and God, we thank you. So deal with us. Thank you for your grace and kindness as we just move along. And God, help us understand the process and how it works so that we aren't sort of stupid about the whole thing and never do anything and we lose out. So God, we don't want to have that. We want to learn well, we want to learn rightly, and we want to be exercised to the fullest. And Spirit of God, that's your assignment. Help us very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.